Galatians, the fourth chapter. Verse 1. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Read. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Verse 2. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Look at that. It says, until the time appointed of the Father. All right. Verse 3. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You may be seated. This morning, because Apostle, first of all, those that are here for the first time, this is a test run. I want you to come back next week when Apostle is here and you get the real deal. So this morning, I want to deal with Apostle has been putting us on a path of maturity.
Yes, sir.
One of the things I found out about, and I'm learning about the apostolic. An apostolic is nothing more than the government of God, how God does things, his divine order, how he structures things. One of the things I'm finding out about the apostolic is that the apostolic will force growth. It will force you to grow. Now, the word force sometimes has a connection to the word control. But one of the things I love about the apostolic or the government of God is that to participate in the apostolic or participate in the government, in the government of God, you must first be willing. You must first be willing. If you're not willing, then see, here's what we, this is one of the things about God. I love God for this. God gave us one of the most powerful tools to use on earth, and that's the power of choice.
Yes, amen.
So, you know, God has already done for us everything he's going to do. Okay? So if he's done everything for us that he's already, if he's done everything that he's going to do, that means everything that happens to us are the results that we get in our lives is based on what we choose.
Right.
Give you an example. God ain't going to force you to go to heaven.
Right.
He ain't going to force you to go to hell.
Right.
Your choice. God ain't going to force you to be wealthy. He ain't going to force you to be poor. God ain't going to force you to be sick, and he ain't going to force you to be well.
Right.
If you choose to be well, whatever gets in your way from that happening,
right,
God will back you up.
Right. Right.
If you choose to be wealthy, whatever's in your way,
right,
God will back you up to move it out of your way.
Right.
So, you have to be willing. You have to be willing. Now, what we just read is really what Paul was talking to a group of people that had a Jewish background.
Right.
All right, that's why he said in verse 3, we were children under bondage. He was talking about the Jews that were following, that had been accustomed to following the law. In order to achieve redemption.
Right. Yeah.
He said, but watch this. He said, but at an appointed time by the Father, that's how long we're going to be under tutors. He was under tutors and governors until the appointed time by the Father. The appointed time for the Father has arrived.
Right. Right. Yes, sir.
That's Jesus Christ coming.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yes, sir.
Dying on the cross,
right,
for our sins, giving us the right to be redeemed. So now that has happened, we're now been placed on a level playing field of whether we want to mature or not. This is why the apostolic forces maturity. If you say I'm willing, I want to be in the government of God, one thing you must understand that you cannot stay in the government of God without growth. You can't stay in the government of God. You can't stay in the apostolic. You can't be apostolic without being forced to grow, being forced to mature. Things I used to do, I have to change and become better. Are you understanding this? So, in order to understand maturity, you see, maturity is not based on what you, it's not based on anything else but how you behave. That's all maturity it really is. And we're going to go through, because this morning I'm going to deal with maturity, but I'm going to tell you what maturity is not. I'm going to take a few minutes to tell you what maturity is not, and we won't be long. I'm going to tell you what maturity is not, so that we can eradicate all these erroneous concepts of what maturity is.
Right. Yes, sir.
All right? Because maturity is based on simply on behavior.
Right.
How you react in situations.
Right.
How do you deal with such situations? How do you make decisions in certain situations? That's how we understand what maturity is. See, one of the things the Holy Spirit spoke to me about 6 months ago is I must become predictable to God and to my leader.
Yeah, right. Yes, sir.
I must become predictable to God and my leader. I must become unpredictable to Satan. How do I become predictable to God and to my leader? Not that they know my every move. Not that they know my every decision, but if they see me in a situation, they pretty much know what I'm going to do. That's maturity. See, the reason why God can trust you to do more is because you're predictable to him. See, the reason why Jesus was given the assignment to die on the cross, it's because God predicted that he was going to do it. I'm going to say that again because that went over some of y'all heads. The reason why Jesus was given the assignment to die on the cross is because God predicted that he was going to do it. Based on past action. The way God gives us more or gives us bigger assignments is based on us being predictable to him. Is this making sense? Number one, you can turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Maturity is not based on what you know. Maturity is not based on what you know. I've seen people that have quoted the Bible inside and out and face the situation and fold.
Yes, sir.
Maturity is not based on what you know. It's not based on the accumulation of facts.
Right.
It's not based on accumulation of how many scriptures you've memorized.
Right.
It's not even based on how much revelation knowledge you get.
Right.
Matthew, the 16th chapter. Very familiar scripture. Jesus was asking the disciples, who do men say that I am?
Right?
And some disciples answered one way, some answered the other way, but Peter answered a certain way. Right? Watch how Peter answered. Verse 17. Verse, watch this. Verse, 17. He said, but Peter answered Jesus in verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. And Jesus said this, watch this. Jesus said, answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah.
Right. Yeah.
For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus is just telling Peter, nobody could have told you this but God himself.
All right.
Then Jesus went on to say, Peter, based on this process, that's how I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church on God talking to his people, talking to his sons and daughters, right? Watch this. Go to verse 22. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Few scriptures earlier. A few scriptures earlier, God was telling him who Jesus was. Now watch how significant this is. Watch how important this is. For Peter to realize who Jesus was by revelation was significant because nobody else realized who Jesus was. Matter of fact, Jesus wasn't telling nobody who he was. Even Satan himself couldn't figure out who Jesus was. So for Peter to get this revelation of who Jesus was significant. Are you seeing this? But it does not constitute or it does not say that Peter is mature. Because a few scriptures later, here it is. Watch this. Watch how you have to. You have to translate what you know into behavior. You have to translate what you know into behavior. If I get revelation that you're the Son of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then when I hear that, I should have automatically realized that you come to redeem mankind. Because that's all the Old Testament been talking about. But here it is, when I get revelation knowledge, and don't translate it into behavior. When Jesus, talking to Peter, come to tell Peter, hey, and the rest of the disciples, look, it's going to come a time where I got to go face some stuff. I'm going to have to go follow the plans of God. I'm going to have to die on the cross. I'm going to be killed. And then Peter, because he got revelation, didn't translate it into behavior. What I mean by translating to behavior? When he heard Jesus say that, hey, some things about to happen to me, I'm about to go and be killed, Peter should have automatically adjusted and shifted. Because God has revealed to me who he is, and based on who he is, I know what he came to do. So you have to translate what you know into your behavior. Good knowing is not good enough. You have to translate it into behavior. So if you don't translate, watch what's gonna happen. I've seen this happen over and over and over again. If you don't translate what God is saying to you into behavior, that's called maturity. If you don't translate it into behavior, then you're going to try to dictate the apostolic. You're gonna try to dictate the government of God. You're gonna try to dictate as to God's plan. So here it is, Peter, who just got revelation about who Jesus was, now is trying to change the direction of Jesus. See, what you know has to be translated into behavior. If it doesn't translate into behavior, it's just what you know. And you're going to get the same attacks, and you're going to behave the same way in those attacks. Peter behaved the same way he had been behaving all before. Because what he know didn't translate to his behavior. Now remember, now maturity is how you behave. When Lauren was born, Lauren got to talking, and she didn't quite put her English together at the time. By 2 years old, she hadn't quite put her English together. She couldn't figure out to say "I want it." She would say "she want it." So I had to translate. That means this is what she wanted. But she can't talk like that right now. She began to learn the English language and had to apply it to her behavior. What you know has to be translated. All what Apostle is teaching us.
Yes, sir.
We got to put this into practice.
Right. Yes, sir.
It has to translate into our behavior.
Right. Oh, yes, sir.
Number two. Maturity is not based on what others think of you. Maturity is not based on what others think of you. Stay right there in Matthew 16. Go to verse 14. Verse 14. Jesus asked the questions, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." See, you cannot let anybody from the outside label you.
You're right.
You can't let nobody from the outside, you can't let nobody label you. See, if they label you, they can stunt your maturity. Because if you let people label you outside of what God has called you to do, then they're going to limit what you do for God. Jesus did not let anybody label him. Watch this. Go to, I think it's 1 Samuel. I didn't write it down, Barbara. What is it? 1 Samuel with David. 1 Samuel 17:28. Let's look for it. Let's see it. I didn't even write it down when I asked you about it. 1 Samuel 17:28. Watch this. Now, this is David. This is David bringing, now mind you, now David is going to bring, David's going to bring his brothers some food and stuff. They're on the battlefield. You know, they face a Goliath. He's going to bring his brothers some food and some other items. And David gets out there, and David maturity has nothing to do with age. Maturity has nothing to do with age. Maturity is only based on behavior. So here it is. Watch now. Watch this. Here it is. David is going out to bring them some food. He sees this Philistine. Is challenging God's people.
Right.
Now, David, who number one has been anointed, number two has put that anointing to test,
right. Yes,
killing a bear, killing a lion,
yes, sir.
Comes out and sees this, what he said, uncircumcised Philistine. In other words, This man not serving the same God we serve. So where is he getting his authority from to attack us? Or to threaten us? Or to dominate us? But because that whole army, including the king,
yes, sir,
didn't want to mature.
Right.
Yes, sir.
That's good preaching, man.
There was a young man that come along and was able to translate what he know
into
his behavior.
Right. Yes, sir. Wow. Yes, sir.
And watch this. When you translate what you know into your behavior, trust me, people are going to try to label you to control you. So here it is, it says, and Eliab, his eldest brother. Now, why would the Bible say his eldest brother? Because David was the youngest. So here it is, the eldest brother thinking that because he's older, he's going to be able to limit David's behavior. But because David had been spending time with God, not only spending time with God, but had been spending time with God, and what God tells him, he's been translating to behavior. Do you know how much courage David had to have to face a lion? You better believe he was talking to God. Do you know how much courage David had to have to face that bear? You better believe he was talking to God. But not only was he talking to God, not only was he getting revelation, but he was able to translate that into behavior. So now, here it is, he's coming to the children of Israel, and the Philistines are now threatening him, especially Goliath is threatening him. He's questioning, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? David is behaving a certain way. He's behaving a certain way because he's translated what he know into his behavior. So now he has a confidence to face this giant. Are you seeing this? Not only face this giant, but face this giant and behave in a certain way. The rest of them was what didn't mature because they were scared. They were facing the giant. Watch this. Facing the giant, knowing they're serving an almighty God and still behaving immaturely. Still behaving in fear. Still thinking ain't nothing gonna happen. Still thinking they ain't gonna be able to conquer this giant. Are you seeing this? The church is not based on age, and you can't let people label you. David, brother, called himself in this 28th verse, call himself trying to check David. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he had spoken to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. Now, let me tell you something. Let me give you a little psychology. One thing my dad taught me. He said, as soon as people can't control you no more, the first thing they do is get mad. Soon as somebody who was victimizing you can no longer victimize you, the first thing they'll do is get mad and try to label you. Try to stop your maturity. Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? Well, you the one needed food. I was just following instructions from my father. He wanted me to bring y'all some food. I was just bringing some food. You know, don't get mad at me because I caught y'all acting immature. And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? First of all, them few sheep I got still left because I fought a lion and I fought a bear. Y'all used to be there standing there scared of this man here. Behavior. You see this? You see this? Listen, you can't let people label you when you want to mature. You can't let people stop you from maturing. Oh, you're doing too much. Oh, you ain't got to do all that. You think you spiritual. You think you holy. Why are you worried about me? My favorite statement is, worry about yourself. Why are you worried about me? Worry about yourself. So David's brother kept saying, I know the pride and annoyance of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Or the way you just come down, he knows it. David said, I wasn't even trying to come down here. I just come down here to bring some food. I see this giant. Don't get mad at me because I'm behaving differently. See, when you're able to translate what you know into your behavior. See, this is why it's important not only to get revelation knowledge, but Lord, how do I behave? How do I translate this? God, how does this fit into my way of doing things?
Right. Oh, yeah, that's good, Lord. Oh, yes, sir.
How many understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We are almost done. Number three, maturity is not based on what you have. Maturity is not based on what you have. Go to Mark the 10th chapter. Verse 17, Mark 10, chapter verse 17, rich young ruler. And when he was gone forth and away, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, meaning to Jesus, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Mm-hmm. Now, here it is. He's about to get revelation knowledge.
Right.
He's about to get revelation. How I know revelation knowledge? Because it's coming out of the mouth of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's how I know it's revelation knowledge. Anything a rocket science to figure that out. It's coming out of the mouth of Jesus. This is revelation knowledge. This is knowledge that nobody else don't know is about to be revealed to him. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Thou do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy mother, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and saying to him, one thing thou lackest, goest thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come and take up the cross and follow me. And verse 22.
Yes, sir.
And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He couldn't make a decision of maturity based on what he had. So maturity ain't based on your ability to accumulate nothing.
Correct. Yes, sir.
And it's not based on your ability of having nothing.
Right. Right. Right.
Man.
That's it.
Come on.
The widow woman with Elijah.
Right.
Yep.
Yes.
She's gonna bake it, take the last little meal in the barrel, go bake it for her and her son to eat it and die. But she was able to translate what she knew
right.
to her behavior.
Yes.
That caused her to triumph.
Yeah, right. Yes, sir.
That's called maturity.
Yes, sir. Glory to God. Oh, yes, sir.
He wasn't able to translate what he knew
right.
into behavior.
Right.
Jesus told him, watch this. Jesus told him, sell all that you have, not give everything away you got.
Right.
Sell all that you have.
Right.
Sell all, make yourself light.
Right. Yeah.
Make yourself quick on your feet.
Right.
Put yourself in a position where you ain't got to be checking on all this stuff.
Hey, right. That's right.
He ain't telling to give all this money away.
Right.
If you're going to take up the cross and follow me, I need you light on your feet.
Right.
You can't be bogged down with a bunch of assets that you've got to go back and keep checking on. So he wasn't able to translate that revelation knowledge into behavior. Are y'all seeing this? The widow woman was able, because the Bible said that God spoke to Elijah and told, watch this, if you go back and read it, I think it's 1 Kings, he said, I've spoken to a widow woman to sustain you. So that means before Elijah showed up, this woman had revelation knowledge on what to do. So the question is, when Elijah showed up, was she going to be able to translate what she knew into her behavior?
Yes, sir.
Is this making sense? Number four, maturity is not being great at what God has gifted you to do. Oh, that got to mess some of y'all up. Because y'all think because y'all good at what God has gifted you to do, you think that's maturity. That's not maturity. That's just you being good at what God gifted you to do. Knowing, watch this, knowing why God has gifted you to do what you do is maturity. Apostle began to explain to us the difference between understanding our purpose and our gift. Your gift is only to help you fulfill your purpose. Some of us think our gift is our purpose. But your gift is a tool to help you fulfill your purpose. So just because I'm good at what I do, or whatever you do, because you're good at what you do, doesn't mean you're mature. Remember now, maturity is being able to translate what you know into behavior. Right? Go with me to Matthew's. The 26th chapter. Matthew 26th chapter. Maturity isn't being great at what God has gifted you to do. That's not the totality of it. That's great. But that's not maturity. Matthew 26th chapter. This is Jesus in 26th chapter, latter part of 26th chapter. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, let's establish something about Jesus. I want you to put yourself in a frame of mind to how you would treat Jesus not knowing that he had to go to the cross. All right, what I mean by that. Seeing all that Jesus had done, all that Jesus had accomplished, would you want Jesus to leave? No. Now, why would you want Jesus to leave? Why, be real. Remember now, we don't know he's going to the cross. Why would you want Jesus to stay? When he was doing things, right? I mean, he was turning water into wine. He was opening blind eyes. People who couldn't walk before began to walk. People who was dead now alive. People who died, been dead for 3 days. Jesus walk up, tell him, roll, open the tomb, call the man named it, man, help him unwrap. He ain't dead no more, you're alive. I mean, Jesus just doing, we hungry. Jesus done preached to us all day. We out here hungry. The store done closed. McDonald's ain't open. Jesus didn't turn around and tell us to find two fishes and five loaves. Simply pray though and say, Father, I know you hear me when I pray. And all of a sudden, everybody eating. 5,000, just men, not including the family. Jesus was doing some wonderful things. So not knowing that he got to go to the cross, not thinking, not even concerned about, not even knowing that, we don't want Jesus to stay here forever. Why? Because Jesus was good. Jesus was good at what he was doing. I mean, Jesus was the miracle worker. I mean you can simply pass by Jesus,
right? Yes, sir.
And just touch the hem of his garment,
yeah,
and be made whole.
Yeah.
Why we want him to go lead? Why? I'm sitting by a pool and I can't move. I've been sitting here for a long time trying to wait my chance to get in. Every time I get in, somebody get in before me. And this man walked beside me and said, "What I'm waiting on?" I said, "Waiting on the pool to be trouble. Waiting on the water to be trouble." He said, "Get up, you ain't gotta wait no more." Why would I want him to leave? Why would I want him to go anywhere? Verse 39. And he went a little further, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Now, what cup is Jesus talking about? This cup that he got to drink of this death, burial, and resurrection, of taking on all of our sins, on taking on, now watch this, taking on all of our sins, taking on all of our defeat, taking on all our failures.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. Right.
Taking all that on him. Yeah. Then go and get all the authority back,
right,
and give it to us. Yeah. Other words, redeeming us,
yeah,
from the curse of the law.
Right.
Putting us in our former position.
Yeah.
This is what he said. He said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Here's the statement I want you, the word I want you to see. Nevertheless,
right,
not as I will, but as thy will.
Yes, sir.
As thy will, as what you want to happen. So maturity is not just based on what God has gifted us to do.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Can I take my gifting and watch this, and be guided to God's ultimate purpose for me? See, am I going to use my gifting that God gives me to gratify myself,
right,
and give glory to God?
Right.
See, because some people do that. They'll quickly give God glory for the gift they have.
Right. Right.
They will give God credit for giving it to them.
Right.
But the question is them using their gift causing God's purpose to come to pass?
Right.
See, Jesus was a great miracle worker. Everything Jesus faced, Jesus took care of. There was no miracle that Jesus faced that couldn't happen. Blind eyes, dead, you're hungry. What you name it, Jesus did it. But none of that had to do with him going to the cross. It, really, to be honest, if we looking from our normal way of thinking, Jesus should have stayed here. If you're going to do all these miracles, all you had to do was open up shop. Because after a while, he wasn't going to go look for nothing. Everybody was coming looking for him. But Jesus was more concerned about his purpose. So he matured to fulfill his purpose. Not just, Jesus could have been happy with performing a miracle. But he wanted to please the Father. So in order to please the Father, he had to do what the Father sent him to do. Dying on the cross, performing miracles, the two don't go together. The two don't go together. Wait a minute, Jesus, God, you mean to tell me I'm dying to perform miracles, now I got to go die? But his maturity,
right,
translating what he knows,
right,
into his behavior.
Right.
See, a lot of times what happens is, this is where religion, see, this is the difference between an apostolic church and a religious church.
Right.
A religious church is just happy with status quo.
Right. Right. Right.
Just trying to maintain.
Right.
A religious church says this. A religious church says this. I'm coming to church on Sunday. Monday, I'm going to try to keep from sinning. Tuesday, I'm going to try to keep from sinning. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm going to try to keep from sinning until I get back here on Sunday.
An apostolic church says, I'm coming to church on Sunday. Tomorrow I'm taking territory. Tuesday I'm taking territory. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm taking territory. Sunday, when I come back, I'm just going to get more instructions on how the next week to go take more territory. This is why we have to mature. Because in order for God to take us to the next level, we have to be predictable, which means God can trust us. That means that when God gives us a grace, Paul says something to the Philippians, I think it was. He said, ye are partakers of my grace. What Paul was saying is, I want you all to be to do the same thing I'm doing. I don't want you to take the grace and just try to fix your problem. I want you to have this grace, not only to fix your problem, but to help me take territory. See, so Paul's level of grace came by maturity. So if we're going to be partakers of that same grace, we have to come to that same level of maturity. Watch this. Let me go over these four things again. I told you I wasn't going to be long. One, maturity is not based on what you know. Maturity is not based on what others think of you. Maturity is not based on what you have. And maturity isn't being great at what God has gifted you to do. Stand to your feet. Oh, y'all thought I was lying? Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's a person in this place that has not had the opportunity to pray the sinner's prayer, has not had the opportunity to be born again. You've never said, God, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand. Just by that decision alone, you mature. You'll be no longer under the bondage of this world system. The world system won't be able to do what it wants to do to you. Number two, you may be born again. But you notice, you sense that there's something missing. What's missing is the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It is the prayer language that allows you to pray when you run out of English words. You're praying a mystery. You may not understand what you're saying, but God understands what you're saying. It creates power that you can't get any other way. When you're dealing with a situation, you done cried all you can cry. You done complained all you can complain. You don't know what else to do. That's what the gift of the Holy Spirit by praying in tongues gives us the ability to do. We can pray without our understanding being fruitful. If that's you and you've never spoken tongues and you want to, I want you to lift your hand. Number three, you may have been born again and you prayed the sinner's prayer, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you hadn't been walking with it. You haven't been maturing like you want to. You haven't been able to walk the lifestyle that God has ordained for you. And you want to get that back. You want to get that connection. You want to start doing that. You want to get that relationship back right again. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand. I see one hand. Fourthly, this is an apostolic church. What that means by apostolic church is a church that is headed by an apostle who structures the government of God in this house. An apostolic church is the freest place you'll ever be. Because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If God is speaking to you about being part of an apostolic church, a place where you can be shaped and molded to be all that God called you to be. We're not just here, we're not just trying to maintain.
Right.
Here you will be forced to grow, forced to mature, forced to be who God called you to be. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. The apostolic puts you in a position to get to that expected end. If that's you, and you said, I want to be in the apostolic. I want Apostle Thompson to be my apostle. I want him to be my pastor. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand. I see that hand. As I begin, I'm going to repeat those four things again. As I repeat those four, those that raise their hand, start making your way toward the altar. Start making your way toward the altar. One, to be born again. Two, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Three, to rekindle your relationship with Jesus Christ. And number four, I want to be a part of this apostolic fellowship. If that's you, you can join these beautiful people, these wonderful people. I wait a few moments. If you don't know the person beside you, make sure they have at least three of those things. The fourth one has to be a personal decision. Check the person beside you. If you don't know them, if you know they, don't mess with them. Y'all lift one hand. Father, we thank you. Thank you for these beautiful people. May they receive what they come to receive. And God, may you put them on a path of maturity they never dreamed about. We give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, go with that gentleman to the right. I left my offering envelope sitting on the desk. Thank you, sir. You may be seated. Lift your hand, read the offering envelope. It's time for tithes and offering. Can I give you a sign of maturity when it comes to finances? Can I give it to you? When you begin to focus more on the seed than you do the harvest, that's a sign of maturity. Why is it a sign of maturity? Because you're translating what you know into behavior. What 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 says? Can you put it on the board for me real quick? 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. Now he that ministers seed to the soil, both ministers bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. That's the word, right? That's God, right? So if that's God, I know this, then what I need to be focusing on? Seed, because if I get seed, I put it in the right place, I don't have to worry about the second part. That's why Amos 9 is so real. That the reaper overtake, the harvest overtake the reaper, you know. Amos 9, you ever read that message Bible? You read it. Amos 9:13, reading the message Bible. It's a sign of maturity when you're able to translate what you know into your behavior. So if I know God gonna multiply a seed that is what? Sown. I don't need to be concerned about the harvest. I put my focus on the seed. Now, now watch this. Whatever you focus on does what? So if I focus on the seed, my seed going to, so once my seed expands, I can sow it right? And what's gonna happen then? Harvest. So maturity is, I don't need to be focusing on the harvest. Focusing on the what? Seed. Translating what you know into behavior. Is that making sense? So if I know God is the Lord of the harvest, he causes increase. Genesis 8:22, Deuteronomy 8:18, Psalm 35:27. If I know these things, then I focus on the seed because God is going to take care of his part. Is that making sense? See, we have to understand this because I'm telling you, I'm looking and I'm expecting you all to have, I said it properly, you all, I didn't say y'all, you all, to have massive production this year. I'm expecting you to handle more money than you ever handled in your life this year. I'm not talking about accumulation of years, I'm talking about this year. I'm talking about this year. So now if that's the case, I'm not focused on the harvest. Because see, what happens, here's how Satan tricks us. If I focus on the harvest, then I'm sitting there looking for it and waiting for it. If I don't see it after a while, I get discouraged. So I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on the seed. And just let the harvest come find me. Because God said, he gonna multiply what? If I sow the seed, then God is obligated. He is obligated. He is obligated. He's not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll make it good. So if I focus, if I let my seed expand, that means God can send me more seed. When he sends me more seed, I sow it. That means that's how massive production is gonna happen. Listen to what I'm saying. I want you to hear this. You're going to handle more money than you ever handled in your life this year. You're going to do it. Stand to your feet. I don't care how much you handled last year. Whatever you handled last year, this year is going to be more. So if you happen to handle the most money you ever handled in your life last year, get ready to get shocked this year, because this year we got massive. Our apostle has spoke to us about massive production. So massive production means big things happening in our lives. Father, thank you for this opportunity to sow seed again, Father, into your kingdom. Father, thank you so much for giving us the system of seed time and harvest. Not only giving us the system, but giving us the seed to participate in the system. And thank you for being the God of the harvest, the God of increase, and causing our seed sown to be multiplied. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated, and the usher is going to serve you. Thank you, sir. Salvation. I receive, sir. I got two salvations right here. Amen. Now, just because you don't think that everybody you talk to is gonna get born again. Don't think that's gonna happen. Some people they're gonna be born again already. Some people might not be interested. But that don't mean that you don't do it. You know, I've been turned down a bunch of times. I don't care. I don't want to hear that. Well, let me just tell it to you anyway. Then you decide if you don't want to leave. You know, I don't believe in all that. Well, I do, so let's talk about it. See, the Bible talks about one planting, another watering, and God giving the increase. You don't know what God is working on. You, once again, maturity is about how you behave. right? So if you have an opportunity to witness and you don't, that's a sign of immaturity. Because you're not about the purpose. You're about existing. See? So sometimes there gonna come times where you witness somebody and they ain't trying to hear nothing you say. Okay, that's no problem. But that's all right. They got to deal with what they heard. So it may be the next person come along. See, you broke the ice, but the other person jumped in. So just because you wasn't successful and you didn't bring them into the family, don't mean they won't get there. Stand to your feet. Another salvation? Got it. Oh, good. Salvation. Two of us students, born again. Can't take prayer out of school. You take Jesus out of school. I want you to go in peace and mature this week. So I want you to shake five people's hands and tell them, go in peace and mature. And you're dismissed.